Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Bruton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. President Donald Trump has been abroad this week visiting the Asia region. Ed, first off, any takeaways from the trip?
Well, I think he's been relatively cautious, actually, reading from his teleprompter most of the time. He's a little bit scared of upsetting both the North Koreans and the Chinese, and he gave a little bit of a message. The Chinese are being helpful here, and I think the message from the Chinese was, would you stop your bombastic stuff and let us take care of this? We have the upper hand, and we'll do it, and leave us to do it. So he is backing down, but doesn't want to appear to be backing down. So he's talking about the strength and might of the U.S. Army and military. But clearly the Chinese are in charge of this game.
Now, China, as you know and I know, and it would seem President Trump definitely knows, China has been gaining on the United States considerably as a world leader. When Barack Obama was president, he attempted a pivot to Asia to help strengthen ties, but Trump, he's been a lot more adversarial. The Trans-Pacific Partnership comes to mind. At the same time, we know Trump is fairly easy to influence, or can be fairly easy to influence at times. Would you foresee any pivots of Trump's own coming out of this visit?
No, I think his rhetoric when he gets back home is that he's made some deals. A lot of aircraft were sold to the Chinese and the Japanese. A lot of business was done. But the structural trade deficit won't change, but he'll make out like it has. And, of course, there'll be more Japanese cars sold in the United States, which are made in the United States, and he'll take credit for those jobs created. But there's really no difference from his rhetoric and what's going on currently.
Moving on to the big political news out of the States this week. Of course, it's been the off-year election night 2017. This, of course, not midterms yet, but still, quite a few political positions up for grabs. Big results for Democrats. Some are saying it's due to backlash against Trump. What's your take?
Well, my take is this is a backlash against racism, guns, and violence that were represented in Virginia. The candidate wasn't strong, but the message was clear. If you want more of this, vote for this kind of candidate. Because Trump is really fanning the flames of racism. And sensible people are saying enough is enough. Unfortunately, some people have died in tragedies like Las Vegas, but people are recognizing this as being an offshoot of Trumpism.
Speaking of the race there in Virginia, many are saying the Republican candidate for governor, Ed Gillespie, was trying to have it both ways, going with Trump policies without much mention of the man himself. And Trump claimed loss was down to Gillespie not embracing him enough. Any lessons do you think for Republicans who are facing re-election in 2018?
Look, a Republican who embraces Trump in a state that Trump still has a big margin, if you're in the Deep South, makes sense. But if this is a close race, it makes no sense at all, because Trump is a lightning rod. And people want to feel safe. They want to feel secure. Their jobs are not really in jeopardy. What is in jeopardy is the American way of life. So I think Trump is bad news for the middle of the nation, and that's where these elections will be won and lost.
And on the other side of that, the Democratic candidate, he got his fair share of criticism as well. It would seem Democrats are still struggling with their core messaging in a lot of ways. They can't just sort of carry being the anti-Trump party into midterms. Is there a risk the backlash could be overhyped?
Well, I think there's a couple things here. That there are no economic issues except the possibility of this tax cut, and that cuts a lot of different ways, so Democrats have to be very careful about this. The middle class tax cut, if they go after what's hurting the middle class, then they will put themselves in a position of perhaps supporting Trump. So So they have to be really careful here, and the deficit is a big deal. Obamacare looks like it's here to stay, so they can't run on that. So what they have to do is run against guns, they have to run against racism, and they have to run for a stronger, better-looking America. And if Republicans want to run with Trump, they run the risk of saying we're going backward rather than forward. Almost 70% of Americans believe the country's going in the wrong direction. So a soft message is more important for the Democrats than a hard one.
Now, the Mueller investigation, we spoke last week about indictments. Now reports are saying that Mueller has enough evidence to charge Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and Michael Flynn's son. What do we know so far?
Well, we know that that indictment is pending. But what Mueller's trying to do is to get Flynn to say he's going to be a witness for the government. He's playing hardball on an issue, plus the fact that he has Flynn dead to rights, lying to the FBI, laundering money, etc. Flynn doesn't really want to spend 30 years in jail, and that's where he's headed. So he's trying to make a deal with Flynn. If he makes a deal with Flynn, then Manafort will topple, the whole House of Cards will topple. This is why, for Trump, Flynn is a big deal.
And speaking of Flynn Jr., it does match what you were saying last week about Mueller targeting some of the family members who have gotten involved with this alleged illegal activity. One thing to maybe not take a deal for yourself, but if wives or children are involved, you might have to think about it a little bit harder.
You sure do. Let's think. His son is in his 30s. 30 years from now, he's in his 60s. His family won't see him again. Are you going to tell your son that you're going to spend your life in prison for me? I don't think any father could do that, but I've been surprised in the past. I think Flynn's going to make a deal.
Now, I don't want to make light of this. You have mentioned, though, a couple of times the word guns in terms of Democratic policies. We've seen another week, another mass shooting, incredibly tragic circumstances, and this was the highest body count for a mass shooting that took place in a church. As an Australian, that sentence is insane, a specific category for shootings in churches. But in America, with the current situation we're looking at, it does seem, well, totally believable. The frustration following this and the Vegas shooting, they've been almost palpable amongst gun control advocates. I don't know if anything can change under the current makeup of the houses, but could this become a bigger and bigger political issue going forward?
Yeah, and I think the Democrats are going to play this, is we are not controlling guns. We are just bringing back the rules and regulations that were there before. While the Brady Law was in effect, there were Columbine occurred in that. And as soon as that was lifted, we had Sandy Hook. So almost within a week after these sanctions for these automatic weapons were lifted, Sandy Hook occurred. So there's a very clear evidence that you don't have to take away guns, but you have to take away these mass killing weapons. So the Democrats can say, look, we're all for the farmer who wants to hunt. If you want to have a gun in your house, fair enough. But let's not let anybody kill a bunch of people. That is a very strong message. I think it's winnable. The Republicans will be caught with their pants down.
And just finally, Ed, it has been a year on since Trump won in his surprise election victory. No one but his core supporters would argue it's been anything but a really chaotic sort of year. Any final thoughts on that? Any final thoughts on Trump's, not quite first year in the presidency, but first year since he was elected?
Well, he's just now being called president. It's taken us 9 or 10 months to call him President Trump because he has not acted like a president. I think his presidency is over. The question is how much longer he hangs on. And I would anticipate a resignation in the not too distant future.
And I'll be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date. And show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.